Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Friday morning, January the 28th, 2011. You know, I think last week I mentioned that I wanted to do a podcast on God's willingness and His ability. So I thought I better keep my word here. And you know, I know this is a topic that I've visited a number of times before. In fact, there are some links down below with some related podcasts as well. But this topic is really so much bigger, I think, than most of us realize. And I'll tell you why. I believe that most Christians recognize God's power and His ability. You know, they really believe, we all do, don't we, that God is able to do all that He's promised to do and more. Most of us would agree that there's nothing too hard or too big for God, right? I mean, with all the evidence in the Scriptures, how could anyone ever doubt His great ability? And so, when it comes to believing God and receiving all that He's promised, most of us believe that He's certainly able. But there are times when Christians have a difficult time believing that He's willing to do it for them personally. Oh, sure, I know He'll do it for you, and oh, yes, believe God, He'll do this and He'll do that. But when it comes to doing it for me, doing it for you personally, sometimes we just don't believe that He's willing to do it for us. But in thinking that way, is that really believing God? I mean, if you're not convinced and persuaded that God is willing to do it for you, then are you really believing and trusting Him? And that's a big deal, because all God requires from us is to believe Him, to accept what He says as true. And then He brings His word to pass. He brings His promises to pass for us. But if we're not convinced and certain that God is willing to do it for us, then are we really believing and trusting Him? So why is it that we do sometimes think that He's not really willing to do it for us personally? What is it that causes us to doubt His willingness? Why do we not accept that He is willing? You know, many times it's just so subtle. You know, I think there can be any number of reasons why, but I think they all boil down to this: feeling unworthy or undeserving. In other words, what have I done to deserve this? What have I done to earn it? And this kind of thinking is a product of sin consciousness and condemnation. Now let's just stop for a minute. When you really think about it and really think it through, what is it that we could do or refrain from doing that would earn His willingness to provide for us what He's already promised? That question is a big part of the answer. You see, far too many Christians base their self-worth on what they do, or how much they do, or what they refrain from doing. There are many Christians who subtly believe that their being right and worthy in God's eyes is dependent upon their actions. Again, what they do or what they don't do. But if that were really true, we wouldn't have needed a Savior, would we? You know, the Bible says in Galatians, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That means that He would have died for no purpose. You see, sometimes we have to just stop and think things through logically. And that's okay. In fact, it's a good thing to ask yourself, why do I believe what I believe? You know, in our Glendale Bible Fellowship here, I don't know how many times I've said that statement. Why do you believe what you believe? So let's think this thing through logically. Is there really some action that you could do that would earn you enough of God's love and grace so that He in turn, because of your works, then be willing to perform His promises for you personally? There's really something wrong with that picture, isn't there? Well, I have two keys in this podcast, and here's the first key, and it's a great key. It'll help you to not only understand why God is so very willing to bring His word to pass for you personally, but it'll also help you to accept His willingness. You know, there's a verse in the book of Romans in chapter 8 that says that there is nothing that can separate you from God's love. That's why His love for you is unconditional. He put no conditions on it. Have you ever considered what that means? That means that your actions, good or bad, don't have anything to do with how much God loves you. Now, I know some people might not agree with what I just said, but if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, it says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing. We need to remind ourselves of this on a consistent basis. You know why? Because accepting and believing that nothing can separate us from His love plays a huge part in our self-worth and our self-image. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. This is a big key in accepting His willingness to bring His promises to pass for you personally. Our love and forgiveness for others is sometimes conditional, isn't it, if we're honest? But that's not true with God. He absolutely loves you unconditionally. Now, it's nice to say that, right? But think about it in a practical sense. Let's put it in real-life terms. He doesn't love you any less today than He did yesterday. He doesn't love you more when you're praying. He doesn't love you any less when you're messing up. His love for you is unconditional. Nothing can separate you from His love. Yes, but what about what? Nothing can separate you from His love. And now here's another great key to help you in learning to understand and accept God's willingness to perform His word for you personally. You see, part of the problem in not accepting His willingness to perform His word for us personally is in not accepting the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Now, how does that fit into the picture? Well, again, many Christians really believe that their being right and worthy in God's eyes is dependent upon their actions, what they do or what they don't do. Well, think about this for a minute. Have you ever had a couple of days go by where you prayed a lot and you did things for others, you were really loving, and you really felt that you were walking for Him, just walking with God? Now, at those times, how was your confidence to go to God and ask for the things that you needed? It was probably pretty high, right? But why was that? Really, it was because your actions made you feel worthy and right before God. And thinking that way is an indication that you believe that your self-worth and being right in God's eyes is dependent upon your actions. Isn't that amazing? And most people don't even realize it. And you know what that kind of thinking will do for you? Well, follow it through logically. What happens when you have a period of time where you're falling short or messing up? Yeah, then how much confidence do you have to go to God and expect His help? Very little. See, here's the key. And it's a big key, and so few understand it. In the book of Romans in chapter 3, verses 21 to 24, you'll see that your righteousness, your being right in God's eyes, has absolutely nothing to do with what you do or what you don't do. You are righteous before God, righteous in His eyes, because of what Jesus Christ did for you. And yet, how many Christians base their being right in God's eyes on what they do or don't do? You know, I've taught many times about that word righteousness. And I know for many people it's simply a nice spiritual-sounding word. God made me righteous. Wow, what does that mean? I don't know, but it feels good to say it. It sounds good. I'm righteous. Tell you something, failing to understand what this word righteous means is to fail to understand who you really are, and what you really have as a result of what Jesus Christ accomplished for you. Understanding what righteousness really is will really help you in accepting God's willingness to bring His promises to pass in your life. Actually, the word that's translated in the English, righteous, the Greek word, it's actually a legal term. And simply put, it means that you are right. It's a state of being right according to an established legal standard. In this case, the legal standard is the justice of God. In other words, in God's sight, in His high court, you are right. You are just. You belong. You're not guilty. Not guilty. That's the verdict for you. You are righteous before God because of what Jesus Christ legally accomplished for you. And as a result, you can now stand before God without any sense of guilt, shame, or condemnation. Why? Because in His sight, you have been made right. He made you right. The verdict for you is not guilty because Jesus Christ paid the price for you. So legally, you and I, we belong in His presence by what Jesus Christ did. And in His eyes, you and I are legally right according to His established standard of justice. Gee, no wonder the Bible says that you're lovely and acceptable in His sight, holy and without blame before Him. Now just think about this for a minute. Can you see how accepting His righteousness and believing it's true, can you see how that would have a dynamic impact on your self-worth and your self-esteem? Yeah, it sure would. You know, when you walk into your house, do you feel uncomfortable about being there? Do you feel unworthy to open the refrigerator and get some food? Well, no, of course not. Why? Because you belong there. It's right for you to be there. Now, if you went into the neighbor's house, unannounced, or somebody's house that, you know, you didn't even know them and walked in and went, no, that wouldn't be right. Why? You don't belong there, but you certainly belong in your house, right? You see, the same is true with God. You belong in His presence. You are right being there because He made you right. You are righteous. You see, not understanding or believing that we are right in His eyes plays a major part in our not accepting His willingness to bring His word to pass for us personally. I mean, think about it. If in His sight we are right and we belong, and He sees us as His dear children, lovely and acceptable, why wouldn't He be willing? So I encourage you to use these two keys. Get persuaded that His love for you is unconditional. Nothing can separate you from His love. And that you are right in His sight. And in doing so, you'll begin to accept that He is willing to bring His word to pass for you personally. And again, we need to remember that the promises of God come to pass for us personally when we believe God. We may very well believe that He's able, but if we really don't believe that He's willing, then are we really believing Him? These two keys are just vital. His unconditional love for us and that we are right in His sight. And you see, without understanding those two keys, it's real easy to fall into a vicious cycle of defeat and discouragement. It sounds something like, well, I know that He's able to do this. I know that He promised it. I really do believe that He's able to do it, but you know, I just haven't prayed as much as I should. I really haven't read the Bible enough. I haven't been as loving as I really should be. I really haven't done much for Him lately. Hold on there just a minute. What are all of those things? They're works. Now, nothing wrong with praying. I'm highly in favor of praying. The same is true with reading the Bible and being loving and doing good things. Yes, but all those things are still works, aren't they? And far too many people believe that their being right and worthy in God's eyes is dependent upon their actions, what they do or what they don't do. Let me tell you something. God's love for you does not change if you pray a little or if you pray a lot. His love for you is unconditional, and you don't become more righteous in God's eyes if you read more of the Bible, and less righteous if you don't read the Bible. You already are righteous. And don't misunderstand me. Nothing wrong with doing those things to add to your spiritual growth and walk. Highly in favor of it. But none of those things will make you more acceptable in His sight. You already are. None of those things will make God more willing to bless your life. You see, what happens is that some try real hard and they do a lot of works. And then, because of doing all those works, they feel really right in God's eyes. Then they go to sleep that night with a lot of confidence, knowing that God really loves them. But what happens the next day when they don't do quite as much as they did the day before? Guess what? At the end of the day, they realize they didn't do as much as they did yesterday. You know, that can so easily lead to discouragement, and so the next day, they try even harder. Then on days when they really fall short, boy, people can really get discouraged and overwhelmed, right? They feel like they really need to catch up, and some people even feel like they need to pay for what they've done wrong. And again, it's just doing more and more works to be right in God's eyes. And that becomes nothing but a vicious cycle of defeat and discouragement. And when you really think about it logically, if you're doing works to be right in God's eyes and to be worthy of receiving His promises, how much would you really have to do in order to arrive at that point? See, the question is, do we accept what the Savior did for us, or are we trying to be our own Savior? Why not just believe what the Bible says and accept God's unconditional love and believe that you already are righteous in His eyes? I'm telling you, those two keys lay the most solid foundation for your self-worth and self-image. And those two keys will really help you in accepting and believing that God is not only able, but He is willing to bring His word to pass for you personally. Well, that's it for this podcast. If you have a comment, go ahead, type it in down below. We'd like to hear what's on your mind. And remember, if you're a subscriber to this blog, well, you don't have to bother with bookmarking the site or checking back to see if I've posted something new, because you'll get notified personally every time something new is posted. And it doesn't cost you anything to subscribe either, whether you do that by email or RSS. And if you do decide to subscribe to this blog, as my way of saying thank you, I'll give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information down below. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have a great day.